We found this morning that the battery on the microphone that hangs on your ear, hangs on my ear, hasn't been charged. And so that means that I need to stay here. And we'll use this microphone. And you know that hymn that goes, prone to wonder? You know? I am prone to wander. So I am giving Vince the authority that if he finds me wandering, this is not new in our life, that he's to give me the signal. He can do whatever he wants, stand on a chair, get the message across. But we need to sort of stay pretty much focused around about here. That's his. Anything further than that, and we're in serious trouble, or you're in serious trouble, I'll be talking away, but all you'll see is lips moving, and that's not going to help us terribly much. Wow, what a great morning. Vince, I appreciated your prayer time. Did you notice how important it was to have our minds reoriented? You know, part of the power of this world has to do with the tracks that it creates, the habits. They're so easy for us to just do because we've always done them. Paul wrote to the Ephesians, and he talked about a life that we've been delivered from, and we've been made a whole new creation. And he says, you've been delivered from the course of this world, the tracks that you so easily follow, because it's easy, because you don't have to think about it. You've always done it. It's just a habit that we have. And part of the illusion of the power of darkness and the power of this world is to move us into a life that just drifts. It just does what it's always done. And that doesn't have much to do with faith, which is calling us to understand the issues that we sang about this morning. And again, I just appreciate the songs that have been chosen by the group this morning and how appropriate they are to some of the things I want to say. It takes me, on a morning like this, it took me about an hour to get here this morning. It was pretty wet out on the highway, and my little car was doing some, what do you call it, waterboarding? No, not waterboarding. That belongs to, that's carrying it too far. It wasn't. Hydroplaning. Thanks. This shows where one's headset and why it needed to be reoriented there, Vince's perspective. So I kind of went slower than normal, and I love to. What I generally do is listen to the news coming. I'm one of those news hounds. I kind of tune into the BBC and all kinds of things all over the world. Trying to stay up with that. And I realized when I got here that I had an hour in which I was suddenly aware of the works of darkness. I'd had an hour of listening to the darkness. And I realized how easily I had done that. How thoughtlessly, really, I had done it most of the time, really, and until the end. There was a point in which I got to, and I sort of clicked the button to listen to a CD, and just sort of, it was enough. It was sort of enough. But how easily I had, or thoughtlessly is really the point I want to make, thoughtlessly just tuned into the works of darkness. Important to do so, but to understand that it's the work of darkness. It is the power of this world at work. There's a There's a whole process in which we're living in a world of which we're told that we're going to be in that world, but we're not to be of it. We're not to have our minds conditioned by that power. But I had so easily done that. And I got here, you know, I was so glad to sit there around the bread and the cup and find my mind reoriented to the issues that we were singing about, of a tower that is mighty and powerful for us and that has overcome this world. And I realized if I hadn't done that, then it probably would have been about a wash. I would have had about, you know, an hour or so of darkness and about an hour or so of here sharing together in song and breaking of bread. And that's not great odds. You know, that's not a healthy kind of orientation of the mind and of the spirit and of the heart. It was just, I was missing the significance of that darkness that was there. And that's I think, what Peter is trying to have the church understand as he writes to them. And he says, great and glorious promises have been given. All things, the divine power, verse 3 of the first chapter. His divine, I don't have this up on the screen. His divine power is granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the life of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us precious and very great promises, so that through them he may become partakers of the divine nature. That should just blow your mind. That should just be an absolutely astounding piece of information. That absolutely everything that you need for this life and for godliness has been given to you. But you see, when the mind kind of evaluates all things as a sort of set of unrelated pieces of information, there's a deadness to them. And in a strange way, it's only when we catch a glimpse of the darkness that we appreciate the light. And when we know the despair of our hearts, that we appreciate the great and precious promises that have been given to us. But there's a tendency for us to just drift along and for us to give a theological assent to this glorious truth that everything's been given to us for life and godliness. So the check is, where is this life and godliness that I'm living? That was about a wash. I got two meetings in against a meeting listening to the darkness. And that's kind of scary. And one of the things that Peter wants us to understand is that there's a whole system of darkness that's out there that has its work carried out by people who would, systems and people and entities, false prophets, he calls them, that would want to take from us the attention to the great and glorious promises that are available to life and godliness. For a whole variety of techniques, in a whole variety of ways, he would want us to do that. So last week we looked at three representations, three expressions of that power of darkness. The first being money, or mammon, Jesus calls it, the mammon of unrighteousness. The mammon, the system that belongs to this economic world in which we live. And we all have to live in. We have to go and buy vegetables. We need to earn some money to get the kinds of things that are just important in our life. Am I okay, Vince? Okay. So we need to be functioning. I'm just checking to see if you're awake. That we need this money to function with. But you see, what the power of this world does is it corrupts that system. And it turns it into a principality and a power that is dominated by the darkness. And once it crosses that line, then we're dealing with principalities and powers, not just flesh and blood, not just vegetables and food on the table and things. And it's sort of become this, and the line is so subtle. It just shifts over the line subtly because we haven't been watching it. We haven't been thinking about it. We've been just drifting along and not realizing that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rulers of darkness in high places. And we may be looking for it in cosmic kinds of ways. And if a bolt of lightning came out of the sky, we may really notice it. We may indicate it as a quirk of nature or something like that. But we would at least be aware that it's there. But when it's so subtle, it's so easy for us to drift into that and find ourselves hearing words that are false. And all of a sudden, we've shifted across the line. That's the first one. It's a big thing. It's a big thing for our young people, by the way. They're growing up in a world in which it's all been available for them. It won't be there. But at the moment, it has been. I see it in China. I see older people, my age, who went through the Cultural Revolution, which they lost everything. There was absolutely nothing there. Now the young people have everything. They see the buildings going up until now. They've seen the jobs being available there. They've seen all kinds of things available. When I first went there, they all wear Mao suits and blue and gray. That's all they wore. Now I see them with their Gucci bags and all of their latest stuff, and it's just an expectation that it's all going to be there. I teach a class full of kids, and they've got more technology than I've seen anywhere in this country. They've got their laptops hooked into their iPods, hooked into every other piece of technology is going there, and it's just absolutely amazing. But it's stealing their hopes. You see, they've sort of crossed the line into which there are things that make our life easier and that sort of thing. But once we move into that spirit of materialism, then we're now dealing with the mammon of unrighteousness, and you can't serve two masters. Jesus made that very clear. The second is this whole system of the power of this world. As I said, with its tracks, that's what we always do. And that belongs to the world of darkness. We've always done it this way. Yeah, well, you know, that's just, you know, it's sort of where you get into, in the dealing with politics particularly. Well, you know, what do you expect? Well, what do you expect? We need to understand that that's a system that's so vulnerable to the principalities and the powers. We need them. You know, it's a great system until it becomes controlled by the power of darkness. And it crosses the line. And we need to be people whose antenna and sense is when the line is crossed. And we're going to see some ways in which that whole thing works out. It's so subtle. We don't go into the tower often because, you know, in the song that we sang about Strong Tower, you got that power of darkness attacking the walls, banging on the walls. You know, I don't get a lot of darkness banging on the walls. I get a lot of darkness finding cracks and sort of just subtly kind of weakening the foundation and doing all kinds of things to the system. That's what the darkness does. It also does attack things. We've got places in the world in which those walls are being just absolutely attacked by the evil ones, and we need to be aware of that. It was part of the power of darkness that I heard on the news this morning as I came up. All those people lying in the streets in Mexico. Can you see anything more absurd than what's happening there, in which the power of darkness just sort of takes away the curtain for a little while? And you know what it is? We got enough money in this country that are not poor enough yet. We got enough money that we can go and buy a whole bunch of drugs. We're the biggest purchaser of illegal drugs in the world because we're such a prosperous nation and like to put up our banner that this is a Christian country and all of the kinds of things that would say that, but we might buy more drugs than anybody else in the world. And so we've got all of these guys that you see aboard into the mammon of unrighteousness. And so what are they doing? They're destroying each other. And there's death and there's destruction. And all of that stuff that's going on is sort of, duh. You know, are we that blinded in the darkness that we can't see the power that rules the world in which we live? And to understand that the only hope in it is that Christ, who is in us, is the hope of glory, and he's overcome the world. But if we haven't caught the significance of the line that we cross, then we're in serious trouble. And then we had the lie. He's the father of lies. And you see, the lies that come, well, I heard a report last week that the average person lies twice a day. That's sort of the average for the world in which we live. We tell lies once a day. You know, yeah, I'll be there soon, without any intention of being there soon. I'll get to that. You know, a whole bunch of things like that. You know, they're not good for us. They're bad behaviors. You see, it belongs to the thoughtlessness of the world in which we live. It's kind of small fry in terms, or small change, we might talk about it, in the terms of the power of darkness. It's just not good for us, and it messes up relationships, and it does a whole lot of things like that. Yeah, dear, I'll get to it soon. Yeah, I know the drain pipe needs fixing, but it's raining, you know. And, but if you had fixed it yesterday, you know, all the stuff that goes on with that kind of thing. It does the job. It kind of messes up the marriage for a day. And then we have to apologize, and we go out for dinner, and so everything's patched up, and it's really nice. There's a level of lies that belongs on that level. But the lies that we're talking about in Scripture, when it talks about the kingdom of God and no liar will enter into it, he's talking about the lie that's related to Jesus. It's the lie that's related to Jesus. It wants to add something to him or take something away from him. That's the lie that doesn't belong in the kingdom of heaven. When Jesus, when we detract from his glory, his sufficiency, his person, we got it. TJ, this guy's good, isn't he? Round of applause. How to embarrass TJ. Thanks, TJ.
No problem.
You're a gentleman and a scholar.
Good man.
Bam. Whew. What a relief. I feel so much better already. Just relaxing here, and I can sort of do a little traveling and still. And so Vince, you can relax too, and just I have the faintest idea what I was talking about. The lie. The lie that detracts from Jesus. And the false prophets are those that would want to add to him. You know, you need to be doing this kind of thing. Oh, you shouldn't do that. Jesus wouldn't like that. You know the arrogance of people who speak for God? You know, they are the false prophets. You see, they would want to be the telling us what Jesus wants for us. Instead of you walking with him and studying his word, they're going to tell you what Jesus wants. They're the liars. They have no right to do that. It's taking the Lord's name in vain. You know, we think taking the Lord's name in vain is just swearing. But taking the Lord's name in vain is speaking for him. Being the false prophet. That's what Peter's so up. You know, you've got to understand, Peter was the guy back there that betrayed Jesus. And cut people's ears off and did all kinds. He was a very, very impulsive, very emotional kind of person. And it's coming out again. I mean, he's matured a great deal. I mean, let's face it, he doesn't have much longer to live. He's just running out of energy. He doesn't sort of do those kinds of things that he used to do before. But here he's getting really excited about it. He's sort of saying, I need you to understand, folks. I'm going to keep reminding you. Don't let anybody steal your life. Because that's what the power of darkness is all about. Is stealing life. Okay. That was three. Mammon of unrighteousness, the power of this world, and the lies. Now we've got three more, and we'll get six. We don't have seven. That belongs to God. We have six. It belongs to man. Sorry, guys. Sorry. I mean, I didn't mean to really know that. Could we have the first slide? We'll take a look at these three. Okay. We have three other representations of the power of darkness in the world in Scripture. We have Satan, who's the accuser. He's the one that appeared before God about Job. Remember poor old Job? He got stuck in the middle of this battle between the accuser and God. And God says, take a look at Job. You want to talk about a godly man? That's the kind of thing Peter's talking about in the first chapter. Everything he's been giving you for life and godliness. And Satan says to him, ha, big deal. Look what he's got. You know, he's got a life like Americans. I mean, it's just incredible. If I had all that kind of thing, I might go close to being godly. When Satan's not going to go that far. But, you know, so saying, curse he's like that. Let me have him for a while. You know, and God says, yeah, okay. You can touch his things, but don't touch his life. You know, so you get this, and it goes through the second time, and then he has all of these problems with boils and that sort of thing. My wife has shingles right now. I understand Job. It's just, you know, if I'm going through that, I can understand what Job's wife was going through. You know, it's no wonder he sits here, look, why don't you just curse God and die? It's going to give me some peace, if nothing else. You're scratching yourself all night. It's just driving me crazy. The accuser, Satan the accuser. Then there's the devil, who's the divider. We read there at that marvelous meeting where Jesus establishes the bread and the cup. And we read, and the devil put it into the heart of Judas to betray his Lord. You know, it's the thing about that part of darkness is when you've been let down. You see the frailty of humanity that's so victim to betraying, destroying on that level. And then the third is this business of destruction and death. That's the ultimate. It is the power of death and the power of destruction. I heard it all this morning on the news. That's going on, you see, between Palestine and Israel. It's going on between, it's how Republicans feel about Democrats and Democrats feel about Republicans. So the line gets crossed when accusations come out, when lies come out, when all other kinds of things come out, and we cross the line. We want debate, we want democracy, we want all of those kinds of things. But we really don't want a country ruled by the powers of darkness. It's not just we've always done it that way. We've had these things going back to Jefferson. Oh, so much for the course of this world. The track continues, certainly, down through the ages and will continue. So what do we? We shrug and say, that's the way it is. Peter said, no. No, it's not. That's what you got knees for. That's why we need to have a reorientation of what prayer is all about. There are promises given to you, great and precious promises, that you can be partakers of the divine nature, the nature of the one who has overcome the world. It's not an issue of it's just, it's the way it's always been, Republicans are going to be Republicans, and Democrats are going to be Democrats, women are going to be women, men are going to be men. It's just the way it is. Well, maybe because we've let it be the way it is. Maybe because we walk a thoughtless life, and that's not what Peter wants for the church, thoughtless people. Okay, let's just look quickly at... Okay. For the next slide, false prophet, the accuser, 1 Peter 3:16, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good life in Christ. You've heard the accusations. But sometimes we become our own false prophets. We accuse ourselves. We can't somehow accept that the divine nature can be mine. I'm not worthy of that. True. That's true. However, the promise is there that you can have it. It does mean a reorienting of our minds and our lives to appreciate what God does for us in these promises. Next one. Here's the alternative. The opposite of accusation is encouragement. Accusation's always finding what's wrong. The encourager is always finding what's right. Don't you like people that are like that? Sort of not on your back all the time, or finding this, or criticizing that. They're just the people who are there for you with the word of encouragement. It's Christ Himself. We have something more sure. The prophetic word to which you will do well to pay attention is a light lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your hearts. Boy, here's a word of encouragement. You can be walking, in this darkness. You can be walking in the darkness, knowing you are walking in the darkness, but you're following the light in the darkness. That's the word of encouragement that Jesus has for us. Ultimately, one way people do try to get away from the sense of darkness, that sort of thing, is they go into a cave and they become a hermit. But it's not a great solution, and it's not warranted in Scripture. We're not supposed to be living like that. We're supposed to be living in this world, but not of it. And so Jesus says, you've got this word that I've given you. The prophetic word that he speaks about in this first chapter. You pay attention to it as a lamp in the darkness. When you're aware of the darkness, look at the light. Look at the Word. which is a lamp to your feet that will give you the direction until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. And so should we be, those who are the encouragers. You see, you need to sometimes be thoughtful about what do you hear in the church? Do you hear more words of accusation or do you hear more words of encouragement? It's a good test for the church. What do your children hear? Do they hear more words of accusation or do they hear more words of encouragement? Boy, I'm so aware of the words that kids hear, even from teachers. I have to say to teachers at times, do they hear from you more words of accusation or do they hear words of encouragement? It's Jesus is the one who is the exact opposite of the darkness and the accusation that comes out of that darkness. Because all that's trying to do is tear you down. And the word of encouragement brings light, brings freedom. The next one, the divider. Now I beseech you, therefore, brethren, brothers, 1 Corinthians 1:10, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Can you see how strong Paul's statement is there? I beseech you, therefore, talking to the church, I speak to you in the name of Jesus Christ, the one who is the express image of God. In his name I speak with his authority. This is not taking the name of God in vain. This is Paul standing in the power of that name, and he says, I pray that you'll speak the same thing, and that there will be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Boy, if there's anything that's opposite in the darkness, this is it. The business of the darkness always is to divide. It will always to be separated, whether it's your family, whether it's your marriage, whether it's you and your children, whether it's where you're working, whether it's the church, whatever it is. The government, whatever it is, it's to divide. It's divide and conquer. It's an absolute. So what is the light? So we have Jesus who's in the business of unifying. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he's lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of times to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. That's what he's doing. What are we doing? So it's our job also, Paul says, to work diligently to maintain the unity in the body. To work hard to maintain the unity in the body. To be aware that the power of darkness is trying to absolutely everything to divide. And it's our job to be holding it all together diligently in him. One more. There are false prophets. 2 Peter 2:1. That's where he started in this chapter. But there are false prophets. There were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And Jesus is the victor. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, if you abide in my word, you shall be my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And so in him we're more than conquerors also. It's the significance of that strong tower. It's the significance of the hymn we're going to close with. We shall overcome. We have overcome. As he's overcome, we need to understand that the power of darkness in this world until the light fully comes in his presence, is in the process of destroying itself. It's you know, put together that sum total of materialism and shallowness, emptiness, the lies, the accusations, the divisions, and you finish up with destruction. Marriages are destroyed. Families are destroyed. Children's lives are destroyed. Countries are destroyed. Institutions are destroyed. If there's ever been a sense of it in my life, you've got to stand and look at the power of darkness at the moment and just sort of say, you could lose it all. You could lose it all. The lie has been there that all things are good. Things are going along pretty well. It's only now gradually we're beginning to see the frailty of what it's all about and the power of that darkness. And so we're called to the character of Christ, to the divine nature. And that's what we're to demonstrate in the world that is around us, in the darkness. We're to be lights in that darkness. And again, just encouraging the people going to Honduras. There are people there who have lost it all. It's been stolen in the darkness. And you're bringing light. This is you're crossing the lines that we saw last time. So we are people who are called to that incredibly responsible light that we're to bring into this world of darkness. So we're going to stand and we're going to sing a very powerful affirmation. We have overcome by the power of the blood. That's the tremendous promise that we have. Now, this is a good song to get really excited about. The message of the darkness is a dark message. It can be very debilitating, and it's very easy as a preacher to spend a lot of time talking about the darkness. But I want to talk about the light. I want us to be thoughtful about the darkness, but I want us to be more thoughtful about what we have in Christ. And that these great and precious promises have been given to us, and we must not waste them. We must not neglect those promises that are there. And we appropriate them so that we walk as victors, as more than conquerors through him that loved us. We walk into that darkness. And we can have tremendous healing ability in this world. Healing families, healing children, putting together issues of a world that is, when we talk about it broken, it is broken. We see a very comfortable world. We see a very comfortable world. But most of the world is not like us. It's in pain. It's in the midst of destruction. People are destroying each other. There's not a lot of hope and there's not a lot of light. That's our job, to bring that light.